Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. It is Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. Mr. Zommers, what day is it?
Pump day.
Fantastic. That's exactly what it is. October 25th, 2023. An historic day in the United States of America, as Republicans, after 3 weeks, have managed to get their act together.
Well, most of them.
Well, most of them. That's exactly right, Mr.
Zommers. There's one.
Here's the story, just posted on CNN, by the way. It says, House Republicans have elected Mike Johnson as their new speaker, a major moment that comes 3 weeks after Kevin McCarthy's historic ouster. There were 220 votes for Johnson and 209 votes for Democrat Hakeem Jeffries. There was unanimous GOP support. Hang on, my computer just refreshed. There was unanimous GOP support behind Johnson. One Republican, Van Orden, was absent from the vote. I mean, the distinction of being the only Republican in the United States of America, in the House of Representatives, who abandoned your voters and left them without a vote in Congress at one of the most historic times in our nation's history.
I think he's officially earned the title Derelict Van Odwin.
Yes, Derelict Van Odwin. That's a very good combined. Yes, I like that. Derelict Van Odwin. It's just bizarre, quite frankly. And here we have, looking at the floor of the House of Representatives, they have now officially announced Mike Johnson as the Speaker of the House. He is making his way onto the floor. Behind him, Steve Scalise, presumably who will remain the majority leader. And immediately behind him, Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader, the Democratic leader in the House of Representatives. So we'll see. Mr. Zommers, we'll keep an eye on this. We may take a little bit of Johnson's speech here at the beginning just to give you a flavor who this guy is. Johnson has been a vocal supporter of former President Donald Trump and was a key congressional figure in the failed effort to overturn the 2020 election. Johnson, that is, was elected to the House in 2016. Pretty young for a congressperson, and serves as vice chairman of the House Republican Conference, as well as the GOP deputy whip. An assistant leadership role. And to Mr. Zommers' question yesterday, a whip basically is the person who whips, metaphorically speaking, whips votes into line. He's an attorney. Johnson is, with a focus on constitutional law. Johnson joined a group of House Republicans in voting to sustain the objection to electoral votes on January 6, 2021. During Trump's first impeachment trial in January of 2020, Johnson, along with a group of other GOP lawmakers, served a largely ceremonial role in Trump's Senate impeachment team. So this guy is, he's on the Trump train, as Fitzgerald from Wisconsin likes to say. He is all aboard on the Trump train, is the new Speaker of the House. How is this all going to unfold? We are less than a month away from a government shutdown. Former Speaker Kevin McCarthy had made a deal with President Biden and the United States Senate to fund the government and keep it open. Will Johnson honor that? Also, aid to Ukraine and Israel. Will Johnson honor that? And to Trygve Olson's point last hour, remember we are on from noon until 2 now. Trygve Olson made the point, how long will Mike Johnson himself last before someone calls a vote to vacate the chair? These are all very interesting and legitimate questions. And we're going to hear apparently from the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, here momentarily. We are watching what's going on. And now, McHenry, let's take this. McHenry, the Speaker pro tem gaveling the House into order, and I believe is introduced the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson of Louisiana. House representatives on their feet. It appears most Democrats and Republicans are on their feet, giving the new Speaker a round of applause. New Speaker about ready to Mike Johnson to talk. Actually, I'm sorry. This is Hakeem Jeffries. I apologize. I couldn't see there. This is Hakeem Jeffries.
Zoomed in.
Hakeem Jeffries introducing Mike Johnson. My apologies.
Speaker Mike Johnson, Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, Whip Clark, Chairman Aguilar, all of my colleagues in government on both sides of the aisle, it's an honor and a privilege to once again stand before you as House Democratic leader. From the very beginning of this Congress, House Democrats have made clear that we will find bipartisan common ground with our Republican colleagues whenever and wherever possible for the good of the American people. And House Democrats have repeatedly done just that. It was House Democrats who provided a majority of the votes necessary to avoid a catastrophic default on our debt that would have crashed the U.S. economy and triggered a job-killing recession. It was House Democrats who provided a...
Well, that was... There's a little Google Wireless ad for you if you want to join in with that.
Everyday American. It was House Democrats who provided a majority of the votes necessary to secure $16 billion in disaster assistance for Americans whose lives have been devastated.
Well, this could go on. This could go on for 15 minutes. So let's kind of dump out of this for a second, Mr. Zommers. At least we'll just turn down the volume. We'll keep the video on here, because again, we've heard this from Hakeem Jeffries, and he's absolutely right. The Democrats have been the one trying to keep the House open. We reported at the top of the show that according to Politico. Online, Politico.com, it was the Democrats who reached out and said, look, in order to get Tom Emmer, a guy who actually supported democracy, actually supported the 2020 election, in order to get him Speaker, we will not vote for him because that might cause you more problems than good, but we'll simply, you tell us how many votes you need and we'll have that many members stay off the floor and not vote. And Tom Emmer from Minnesota and the Republicans said, no way, we don't want any Democratic help in order to elect a Speaker. They rejected the Democrats' offer. So I don't blame Hakeem Jeffries for kind of taking a victory lap here before he brings on the new Speaker to point out, look, Democrats, if it were up to us, we would have had a Speaker a long time ago. So I'm fine with this. But we will hear from Mike Johnson in just a while here. We're going to take a little bit of that because, look, I certainly don't agree with this guy. It doesn't look like on much of anything. But whether I or anybody else likes it or not, Mike Johnson is now two heartbeats away from the presidency of the United States. He is second in line behind Vice President Kamala Harris for the presidency. He will get all the trappings that that position includes, including a Secret Service detail. Think about this. This is a guy, I mean, he was kind of in a lower echelon leadership role, but he doesn't have any Secret Service detail. I worked for a member of Congress. Your average member of Congress doesn't have their own Secret Service detail. Their own staff will drop them off at the airport, pick them up in just a plain old vehicle. And this guy almost overnight has gone from that life to now being surrounded by a Secret Service detail. Obviously a much bigger office. And a lot bigger responsibility. So we'll see how Mike Johnson reacts to all this. So that's why I want to take a little bit of his speech because it's an historic moment for the United States. I'll be interested to see whether Mike Johnson is going to talk about bringing the country together, not Republicans, the country. Whether he talks about bringing Congress together. Again, not the Democrats. Not the Republicans, but Congress together. Going to be interested to hear that as well. Mike Johnson, if you haven't heard, was elected by a vote of 220 to 209 No defections for Johnson on the Republican side. There was one Republican that did not show up, that was absent. Derek Van Orden from the 3rd Congressional District, or between Mr. Zommers and Trigvi Olson, derelict Van Odwin. I kind of like that, derelict Van Odwin. So, I mean, the guy has just gone absolutely off the ranch here. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, folks. And I'm somebody who worked for a member of Congress. We're going to take your calls as well here at some point. And then we have coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we've got Keegan Kelly from cracked.com. We were going to kind of turn the page and lighten things up here a little bit. John Stewart. The problem with John Stewart was canceled from Apple TV. And so Keegan Kelly is going to be along here to talk to us a little bit about that and John Stewart's legacy in late night and in comedy. So kind of a juxtaposition, I know, kind of, but this is breaking news. We didn't know it was going to, honestly, if you had asked me to put down $50, which I don't have, but if I had $50 to put down, I probably would have told you this morning. In fact, I think I told Dom before I came on the air, I don't think they're going to elect somebody. And to Trigvi's point, it is extraordinarily disappointing that some of these Republicans who we thought maybe might have a spine, Republicans who are in areas that they barely won, Republicans did to Congress, who are in areas where Joe Biden won, they're now extraordinarily susceptible to being beat. If anything, this vote today, if you want to look just at politics, is a great vote for Democrats. It's a great signal that Hakeem Jeffries, all things being considered, has a great shot of being the next Speaker of the House after the 2024 election. But Republicans, apparently in their short-sightedness to gain power while they can get it, decided to not have a spine and elect somebody like Mike Johnson, an election denier. Hard to figure out, quite frankly. At a critical time in this country, to allow someone who doesn't even support the fundamental tenets of democracy. We're going to come back, maybe hear from the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, on the other side. At the bottom of the hour, Keegan Kelly, the legacy of John Stewart and the cancellation of the problem. Is it a problem? We'll ask Keegan after this. This is the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along here. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board. Lots going on this unprecedented day after 3 weeks without a Speaker of the House. Mike Johnson of Louisiana, an election denier, has won with 220 votes on the Republican side to 209 on the Democratic side. Every Republican voted for Mike Johnson except one, Derek Van Orden of the 3rd District of Wisconsin. He didn't vote against. He didn't even vote present. Derek Van Orden simply wasn't there, didn't show up for work. I would say no call, no show, unexcused absence. You know what happens in the service industry when you're no call, no show? You're gone. Don't have time. I was the general manager for a sports bar. I ran my own coffee shop, a couple of different ones. Look, if you have a staff that just is a no-call, no-show, you're done. The caveat is, unless you or your mom or dad or sister or brother, God forbid, are lying in the hospital. But just to say, yeah, I'm not showing up. Because apparently Derek Van Orden never told anybody, including his own staff, that he was going to Israel. He is not part of a diplomatic mission. He is not part of an official U.S. delegation. He just didn't show up.
He may believe he is part of some kind of official mission.
Right. But he just didn't show up. So here off the WXCO Bull Falls radio text line, Cindy from Wausau says, every Republican voted for Mike Johnson. What kind of consignments did he agree to get this to happen? Exactly who's going to own him now? Well, great point, Cindy. And by the way, we appreciate listening up there on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Great radio. Our friend Chad Holmes is up there every day as well in the morning. You can find us at Wausau and Bull Falls Radio at 1230 a.m. and 98.9 FM or on the Civic Media app. Cindy raises a great point. What did Mike Johnson have to do, say, or give to get all the Republicans, except for Derek Van Orten because he was in Israel on a powder? What did he say to get these votes? And to Trigvi Olsen's point, what's going to happen in the future? I mean, how long can Johnson stay on this dais? Speaking of Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, still going at it. Mr. Zomers, you were listening to this earlier. He made a couple of great points. What did Hakeem Jeffries say while we've been kind of vamping for Mike Johnson?
So, yes, I was listening to his speech, and a lot of it is just, you know, America's got to stick together, all like that kind of stuff. Mm. And then he said, these are not exact quotes, that we need to stand behind Israel and their right for self-defense against Hamas and also for the people of Palestine. Mm. And as he said that, everybody gave a standing ovation on all sides, applauding and standing up. And then after that, he turned it around and talked about Ukraine and saying that we need to stand also behind Ukraine and supporting this democratic nation. Mm. And then everyone was still applauding, but about half the Republicans were sitting down. And then he said, he embellished on that a little bit more and saying, like, these are both matters of national security and security of the world. And at that point, most of the Republicans had given up.
Wow. Again, this is the Democratic leader calling for aid to Israel and Ukraine. This is the Democratic leader saying, you know what? We need to make sure that Israel can defend itself and that Ukraine can defeat communism and Vladimir Putin. And Republicans are the ones, many of whom, not all, who are sitting on their hands. Quite frankly, it's disgusting. Hakeem Jeffries has just introduced the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson from Louisiana. He has given the gavel to him. Johnson is coming to the dais now. Johnson dressed in a dark suit, white shirt, kind of a muted red, almost burgundy tie, has a pair of dark glasses on, and is now going to address, here's the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson of Louisiana.
Thank you. Thank you all. A few words of gratitude. I want to thank Leader Jeffries. I do look forward to working with you on behalf of the American people. I know we see things from very different points of view, but I know that in your heart you love and care about this country and you want to do what's right. And so we're going to find common ground there, all right?
Many Republicans remain
seated. I want to express my great thanks for our Speaker Emeritus, Kevin McCarthy. Kevin has dedicated over two decades of his life to selfless public service, 16 of those years in this House. And you would be hard-pressed to find anybody who loves this institution more or has contributed more to it. He is the reason we're in this majority today.
You're listening to live comments on Civic Media of new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson of Louisiana.
His impact can never be overstated, and I want to thank him for his leadership, his friendship, and the selfless sacrifice that you and Judy have made for so many years. You helped build it, Kevin, and we owe you a great debt of gratitude. I want to thank the dedicated and overworked staff of this beleaguered house. They accept praise so stoically, but but Miss Susan Cole, our House reading clerk, and yes, yes. Listen, all the clerks and all the staff, you know, they're terribly overworked. This has been a grueling process, but they have served an integral role in keeping our republic, and we thank them for that service. I know we all do. I want to thank my dedicated wife of almost 25 years, Kelly. She's not here. We couldn't get a flight in time. This happened sort of suddenly. But we're going to celebrate soon. She spent the last couple of weeks on her knees in prayer to the Lord, and she's a little worn out. We all are. I want to thank our children, Michael and Hannah and Abby and Jack and Will. All of our children sacrifice. All of them do, and we know that. And there's not a lot of perks to being a member of Congress's kid, right? And so I want to thank all of your families as well for what they endure and what they've had to endure for the last few weeks. We've been here a while. Yeah. I want to thank my faithful mother, Jeannie Johnson, who bore me at the age of 17. And my brothers, Chris and
continue
Josh,
to listen to Mike Johnson. He is the new Speaker of the House. And as these things go, sometimes there's a lot of pomp and circumstance. And look, whether it's Republican or Democratic, this is, again, the second person in line of succession behind only the vice president to the presidency of the United States. I don't agree with Mike Johnson on much. But by a vote of 220 to 209, with only Derek Van Orden not voting because he wasn't there, Mike Johnson is the new Speaker of the House. We'll come back, flip the page, talk about Jon Stewart and the problem. Is the problem that he was canceled or not? Back with Keegan Kelly after this. This is the Todd Allbolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbolt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media app. It is now 1:34 on the time and temperature side on this Wednesday, October 25th. We are monitoring what's happening out in Washington, D.C. Of course, we are taking live remarks before the break. In case you have not heard, Mike Johnson, the Republican of Louisiana, an election denier, voted against certifying the 2020 election, was all in on the Dominion voting scandal that turned out to be 100% false, untrue, and a lie. All in on that. He is now two heartbeats away for the presidency of the United States, as Republicans have elected him 220 to 209, all Democrats present voting for Hakeem Jeffries, all Republicans, including those vulnerables, voting for Mike Johnson, except for Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin, who chose to take a powder, left the country unannounced on his own, and is somewhere in Israel or the Middle East. We'll have final thoughts on this at the end of the show. But right now we're going to turn a page and look at something to take our minds off this a little bit, as we often try to do. And we welcome in from Cracked.com, an ongoing contributor and guest, Keegan Kelly joins us. Keegan, thank you so much for coming in once again. And thanks for bringing us a little bit of the lighter side of the news.
Happy to be here, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
Of course, always a pleasure. So we wanted to bring you on and talk today a little bit because as myself, I'm a fan of late night television. I'm a fan of media in general, but also of just political news. And I don't think anybody has done it better, or at least as well, but I would say better than Jon Stewart, particularly over the last 3 or 4 years after he left The Daily Show. And then he created this online or streaming show via Apple TV called The Problem with Jon Stewart. And now this past week, Apple announced that they are canceling the show. And Keegan, there appears to be a little bit of discrepancy depending upon who you listen to, Apple or Jon Stewart, of why this happened.
That's right, Todd. The reports coming out of the New York Times and the insiders that they claim to have in his writer's room and in the production of The Problem with Jon Stewart say that the discrepancy came when a proposed topic for the upcoming third season, which was actually supposed to start filming in the next 3 weeks, They were planning on tackling issues related to China and to artificial intelligence. And John Stewart, talking to his staff, said that he and his bosses at Apple were so far apart on what the appropriate tenor and tone he should take on this topic would be that he decided that he'd rather just pull the plug and walk away with his integrity intact and without these conflicts escalating into anything further. And an interesting point that he also raised is that looking forward to the 2024 presidential elections, he anticipated that there would be even more pushback if he tried to cover topics related to the election. So what it looks like, if we're going to take the word of these insiders, is that Apple tried to essentially put a gag order on certain topics. They didn't want people talking about China. They didn't want people talking about AI. And going into 2024, they may not want people talking about the election either.
Which seems to me just very odd, because if we have listeners out there and you say, first of all, who the hell is John Stewart? Here's who he was, or who he is. And you tell him, Keegan, about a start a little bit of John Stewart and then how he got the Daily Show gig a little bit.
Sure. John Stewart, he's been around a few decades now. He came out former bartender at some pretty impressive punk clubs out in New Jersey and New York, became a stand-up, had some pretty interesting movie gigs here and there. Mm-hmm. Eventually, in the late 90s, took over on The Daily Show, the Comedy Central's satirical news program, and became the defining voice of that job. That show, I believe he was there for 16 years. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that. And in that time, he built this satirical news empire, essentially, because the offshoots of all of the creatives that came out of The Daily Show, a lot of them you might know, Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, John Oliver, Wyatt Cenac, and more and more that are continuing to come out. Samantha Bee, she had her own show for a while. He was kind of the defining voice of this kind of snarky, left-leaning, but more just focused on the hypocrisy of a lot of these political figures and kind of incisive voices of humor as they relate to political comedy. What? And he left...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, good.
He left The Daily Show in 2015, passing the torch on to Trevor Noah, who now is gone as well. And in the time since, his career has kind of been a touch and go, start and stop. He had 4 or 5 years, I believe, on a deal with HBO where not much materialized. He was supposed to make an animated news show about a cable news network that was a little more, fictionalized. Mm-hmm. And a little more sitcom-y, a little more lighthearted. That never materialized, kept on getting delayed. There were technical issues. He made this film with his former correspondent, Steve Carell, Irresistible, in 2020, focusing on a Democratic strategist who's trying to win an election in a small conservative town. And not super well received, didn't make a lot of hay. Mm-hmm. For anyone, really. And then he finally had this show on Apple TV once he got out of his HBO deal. The problem with Jon Stewart, as you said, ran for 2 seasons, and the format was he would take a single issue, be that COVID-19 restrictions or affirmative care for transgender teens, whatever it may be.
Guns is the big one that really made a lot of news.
Yeah, that was the one that blew up. His talk on gun control and his interview with an Oklahoma state senator who was responsible for loosening restrictions in a big way in his state. And it's really a shame that this kind of format didn't work out for him. Mm-hmm. And that it did come to an unceremonious end, because what we learned from it is that as much as ever, Jon Stewart is one of the most intelligent people who can at least try to make light or keep things, I guess, punchy and parodical in relation to these very serious issues that he cares very deeply about.
That's something that a couple of takeaways for me on Jon Stewart. Number one, you know, like a lot of us, you know, he really idolized Letterman. That was kind of somebody he really tried to pattern his style after somewhat. And the, you know, the rumors, reports that I heard was that Letterman actually wanted Stewart to take over his slot on CBS. And the CBS guru said, no, it's going to be Colbert. Is that accurate, do you think?
I can't speak to the validity of those rumors, but I can say that if you want someone filling that role, you couldn't do much better than
right.
Than
it was Stewart. A little bit like when Carson retired, he wanted Letterman, and NBC went with Leno, and then when Letterman retired at CBS, he wanted Jon Stewart, and they said, no, we're going to put Colbert in there. But so he's a late night guy. He knows the genre. But to your point, and we're speaking, by the way, with Keegan Kelly from Cracked.com, a late night expert, I will call you. But that Stewart is just so darn intelligent, and how he can retain all this stuff. I mean, he really combines news with satire like nobody else I've seen before or since. And Keegan, I've heard that a lot of younger folks, you know, millennials, Gen X, Gen Z, you know, they basically have said, I get my news from Jon Stewart when he was on The Daily Show. They would watch that instead of the traditional media.
Oh, that's definitely true. I wouldn't advocate getting anyone's only source of news from a comedy program, but it certainly did happen, especially in my demographic. There were a lot of people who really only saw what was going on in this country through the lens of Jon Stewart.
And do you think that's because he never, to my knowledge, he never made something up in terms of like reporting something that was untrue and say it was fact. He used news facts, but then he wove in the satire after he laid down some facts on you.
Exactly. And a lot of what he did and why he was such an important voice is he would examine these talking points that were running rampant, coming out of other news outlets, coming from politicians, and he would really break those down and, you know, in four or five words, make you see exactly how ridiculous it is. And really expose the hypocrisy through humor.
And he also made a name for himself working on behalf of veterans. To my knowledge, I don't believe he served, but he took on this issue of burn pits, which Joe Biden's son was a victim of, and also the 9/11 survivors, the survivors, the first responders, the firefighters. I mean, he said, look, Congress, you made a promise to these people. And he used his celebrity and I would say nearly single-handedly embarrassed Congress to the point where they had no choice but to relent and give the money, appropriate the money for these survivors.
Yeah, absolutely. And even in the problem with Jon Stewart, he continued that work. Mm-hmm. The first episode of the entire series, like you said, was about those burn pits and about issues with veteran care and the Veterans Health Administration. He really does. You see that in all of his work and in all of his advocacy, that when he cares about an issue, he knows everything about it. He knows the people involved and he's going to work relentlessly to get it done.
So it appears that his intelligence and the fact that he was committed to telling the truth rubbed Apple the wrong way. And they're like, you know, we happen to get a lot of things from China, like iPhones, and we probably don't want to expose that. And, you know, it turns out that we really like AI because it helps us. Don't expose that. And the one that gets me, Keegan, is having this consternation with the 2024 election. I mean, what's going on with these corporations that they don't want the truth to come out?
That's very concerning to me as well. And what's important to keep in context here is Apple TV is a very small division of a very, very large company. Mm-hmm. As much as I think that whatever producers involved with getting Jon Stewart his show were initially invested in giving him this journalistic voice, this independent integrity that he wanted, it's always going to be outweighed by the interests of the most profitable company in the world. Like it's a very small fish in a very, very large pond, and it's unfortunate and it's alarming, but in no way is it surprising that Apple would take these stances.
I want to jump to the other side for a second, because Jon Stewart has also gotten some criticism of helping kind of create the problem, so to speak. Some people have said it was Jon Stewart who kind of brought part of this on himself and didn't really help discourse. Keegan Kelly, explain that.
I think that there is something to be said about the way he carried himself in the 2000s when when Barack Obama came into power, and there was definitely a shift in the paradigm of how who was on the inside, who was on the outside. And I think that there is something to be said about the tenor and tone of his attacks on a lot of these right-wing figures who have now become veritable demagogues, Tucker Carlson, Prince among them. I think that what the evolution of Jon Stewart in the last few years has moved away from that. And I think that the very mocking kind of soundbite satire that was popular among Democrats watching this show in the late 2000s, that's gone away.
Right.
And that's not the tone that he's really hit in the last few years. And I think a lot of the criticism is justified, that simply mocking and dismissing and not taking the other side seriously, even when they are being ridiculous, and even when he is on a show like Crossfire, which really didn't provide anything valuable to discourse, I think that we're seeing now a lot of the dividends paid from not taking those points of view seriously, as unsupported as they may be by facts.
Keegan Kelly from Cracked.com, appreciate you being here so much, my friend. Thanks for putting this into context. I hope we see Jon Stewart down the road soon, because I do think he offers something valuable. As you said, we all change, right, over the time. We all learn. I think the work he's doing now is just so very important.
I completely agree.
Sweet. Keegan Kelly from Cracked.com. You can find his work there. Again, it's Cracked, as in you cracked your neck, Cracked.com. Keegan Kelly, thank you so very much. We'll see you soon. Stay tuned. My pleasure. On the other side, more and an update on the speaker's race in the House of Representatives. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. He's coming on the show. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from a brand new expanded version, 2 hours of Matt Flynn Direct. That's right. We are on new clocks now. You can hear our program every afternoon, Monday through Friday, from noon until 2. And then Matt Flynn Direct from 2 until 4. Taking right to the front lines of history, history being made every minute of every day, and Matt Flynn is on top of it. I'm sure he'll have new information here on the big news story of the afternoon, of the day. After 3 weeks of not having a Speaker of the House, after yesterday, didn't even get to a vote, by the way. You had a candidate, Congressman Emmer from Minnesota, fellow Midwesterner, who had voted in 2020 or 2021 to certify the results of the 2020 election, said, yes, I believe in free and fair elections, at least that. He did sign on to this amicus brief in the Supreme Court to challenge the Pennsylvania results. But when it came time for the big vote in Congress, at least Emmer voted to certify the election. But that wasn't good enough for Republicans in the House. Their political savior, Donald Trump, said, no, this guy's a rhino. And so they didn't even allow Emmer to get to the floor. They turned on him like a rabid dog. And basically, Emmer pulled out on his own. Said, look, it's clear I'm not going to get the votes. I'm not going to put the House through another sham vote. So he pulled out of the race. And last night, the House voted to nominate Mike Johnson, a guy who voted against certifying the 2020 election, a guy who signed on to that amicus brief challenging results in other states, a guy who was all in on the Dominion voting scam, which we found out during a trial was all a hoax. There was nothing to it. Complete lie. And Mike Johnson was all in. He is a close confidant of Trump. He is all in on the MAGA Trump train. And today, House Republicans voted unanimously, 220, to put Mike Johnson in the speaker's chair, two heartbeats away from the presidency of the United States. All the Democrats present, 209 of them, voted for Hakeem Jeffries. Amazing how Democrats could keep their ship together, squared away, knew exactly what they were about and what they were for. So there you go. And, oh, by the way, other breaking news of the day, there was one Republican in the entire House conference that was not there, that was AWOL, who walked away from their post. That individual, Derek Van Orden, or as Zommers and Trygve Olsen have combined to say, Derelict Van Orden.
Or, Van Odwin.
Or Derelict Van Odwin. I was going to add that, yes. The full Derelict Van Odwin, DVO. I like that. Derek Van Orden is still over in Israel on his own. I mean, the guy has completely lost it. Is this not an official trip? It wasn't sanctioned by leadership that we know. Reports are his staff didn't even know. We don't know when Van Orden's coming back or if he will. He's over in Israel and misses the biggest vote of his life. The people of Western Wisconsin were not represented today in the House of Representatives and haven't been since Friday when this all started. Meanwhile, breaking news, judge has fined Donald Trump $10,000 for violating a gag order again. Breaking live right now on the air. My guess is Matt Flynn will probably have an update for you after the top of the hour, but Donald Trump has been fined again, this time $10,000 for violating a gag order. That's what's happening right now. We started the show today by asking the question, is this the beginning of the unraveling of the Republican Party? Trygve Olsen, who has worked at the highest echelons of the GOP, said it's already happened. I had a beer with my former boss, Dale Schultz, last night. He agreed. And by the way, he still calls himself a Republican, I think just to tick people off. He goes, look, Todd, it's already started. Former 2nd District Republican congressional nominee John Sharpless, friend of mine as well, ran his campaign in 98. He too, when I asked him, I said, John, is the Republican Party still there or is this just Trumpism? He said, Todd, it's already gone. He's a historian. The Republican Party that we once knew, the Republican Party that I once belonged to until 2011, no longer exists. It is simply the party of Donald Trump and MAGA. And that is their agenda. And they proved it today. Not one Republican had a spine to stand up against election denying. Not one. Go very quickly, just about a minute left here. Cindy in Appleton. Cindy, you got about a minute left. Thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, how come Trump is only getting fined? If I were doing this as a common man, I'd have been put in prison or in jail so that I wouldn't have access to do this. Why do they keep giving him a pass?
Well, the Kion on CNN, and again, this is happening in real time, so I don't have the volume up, so I can't tell you the particulars, but the Kion at the bottom of the screen says that the judge warns Trump, quote, don't do it again or it'll be worse, unquote. But I think that's a great point. Maybe my friend and colleague who is an attorney, Matt Flynn, in the next hour will answer that question. Why does Trump get off on these things without being behind bars? At some point, the judge has to do that. I think it's a great point, Cindy. Really appreciate you calling. Thanks so much. We're up against the clock. Do not go anywhere. We thank Trygve Olsen from the Lincoln Project for being here. We thank Mr. Zommers for his great work on the board, getting all this live stuff together today. And of course, above and beyond everything else, thank you for listening. We could not do it without each and every one of you. Do not go anywhere. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct is next. He will have the latest in history in the making, the latest updates. You do not want to miss it. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, And this is Todd Allvault for Civic Media. Keep banging your drum. Banging on your drum.